Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good to see you through this technology. Indeed, I still look forward to seeing you hopefully soon face to face. But today is Pentecost Sunday. And the title of our message today is this: Things Aren't Always What They Seem. Based on Acts chapter 2, these verses, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "Oh, they are filled with new wine." Things aren't always what they seem. Think how many times Hollywood movies give us false realities. Have you ever noticed that no movie hero ever has a hard time finding a parking space in the midst of the biggest city? Wherever he wants to park, there is an opening, and he parks for his appointment. And isn't it amazing in kung fu movies that 20 guys grunt and groan and grimace, but they all politely and individually wait their turn to attack the hero? Or isn't it just wonderful that in a movie with a bad guy who shoots his sidekick for messing up a job, there is no end of bad guys ready to take that dead man's job? Now, if I were those guys, I'd start looking for other work. Now, I don't know why we accept Hollywood's absurdities, but I do know this: in our lives, things aren't always what they seem. And this is certainly true when it comes to Jesus and his church. It's certainly true with our Lord. Jesus isn't always what he seems. Ask the average person to describe our Lord, and they'll list a wonderful list of wonderful attributes, like he's good and kind and gentle and caring and nice. Now, Jesus is certainly all those things, but he's far more than that. Did it ever occur to you that one of the reasons Jesus was crucified was because he was considered too dangerous by the religious authorities of his day? So they arranged to have him put to death. And even Pontius Pilate, the highest ranking Roman official in the area, thought it best to have Jesus, a feared political insurrectionist, put to death in a way that thieves and murderers deserved. But you see, Jesus isn't always what he seems. Even our Lord's trial wasn't what it seemed. It was Jesus' fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, not his weakness, that had him stay silent at his mock trial before Pilate. It was Jesus' commitment to paying for your sins and for mine and for saving us from an eternal hell that allowed him to be whipped, beaten, mocked, crowned with thorns, and crucified. It was not because it seemed that the whole thing was an unfortunate tragedy. It was our Lord's strength, not his weakness, which kept him on the cross, that you might be saved. No, things aren't always what they seem. When Jesus was crucified, it seemed that his death was the end of the story. It seemed that his message was silenced. It seemed that his promises were buried with him in an empty, in a borrowed grave. It seemed as if God had lost and evil had won, and death's reign would remain unchallenged. That's the way it seemed. But remember again, things aren't always what they seem. And 3 days after Jesus came to life, he was victorious in his resurrection glory over sin and death and the devil. And hearing that news and seeing our Lord Jesus, the disciples should have been dancing and shouting and telling everyone who would listen. But they didn't. Not yet. You might say, well, it seems pretty clear to me what they should be doing. They should be proclaiming the victory of our Lord. But remember, things aren't always what they seem. And here is where we get to today's Pentecost Sunday reading from Acts chapter 2. Listen again to a few of these words from this wonderful text. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered in one place, and the sound of a mighty rushing wind came, and tongues of fire rested upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And people from many nations who were in Jerusalem were bewildered, saying, "How is it that we hear this message being spoken in our own language? Are not all these speak Galileans?" And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are just filled with new wine." Here is a powerful miracle of God and the birth of the new Christian church. Here the message of Jesus is being proclaimed in numerous languages all at once by uneducated, unlettered Galilean blue-collar workers. And someone who heard this talking said, "It seems to me all these guys are drunk before 9 o'clock in the morning." But remember, things aren't always what they seem. This was the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. This was the day Jesus kept his promise to send the Holy Spirit upon his disciples. This was the day the Spirit came like a rushing wind and a mighty fire. This was the day the disciples were empowered to proclaim fearlessly the victory of their Lord Jesus Christ. This was the day the Spirit gave birth to the new Christian church, and 3,000 people came to faith in one day. What a day. Well, today, this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, when Christians all over the world celebrate the birthday of the church, the gift of the Holy Spirit who continues to bring people to faith and empower his people to proclaim Jesus to the world. Now, Pentecost should be a major celebration in the Christian church, like Christmas or Easter. But remember, things aren't always what they seem. Some people today, perhaps you, might say, Pentecost Sunday, blah, blah, blah. It's all quite boring. You see, no one's putting Pentecost lights on their houses. No one is sending Pentecost cards. No newspaper ads are telling us only two more shopping days until Pentecost, the birthday of the church. Well, big deal. You've seen the newspaper reports about the church. You know the bad stuff that always gets the headlines. Hardly ever we read anything good about the church or Christians in the newspaper. You've heard those reports of children abused by priests. You've heard the stories of churches' financial mismanagement. You have sat in irritated astonishment as some bogus TV evangelist promises you health and wealth and healing if you'll just buy his blessed prayer cloth or the dirt he dug up in the Holy Land. Yes, I can understand why some people today feel like Pentecost, the birthday of the church, is no big deal. I wish I could argue with them, but I can't. What I can do, and what you can do, is to say this as clearly as we are able: things are not always as they seem. Yes, there are clergy scandals. But for every preacher that's been an embarrassment to Jesus and the church, I can show you hundreds who proclaim faithfully the salvation that comes from our Savior. Yes, there are a handful of stupid and silly shenanigans media evangelists pull off. But there are long-time Christian messengers on the airwaves whose ministries are above reproach. You see, things aren't always what they seem. And yes, you may even know some not-so-nice Christians. I'm not surprised. Christians are sinners. We are sinners. And it's a mistake for anyone to judge Jesus on the basis of the faults of his followers. Yet we all know our need to repent and to be a better witness for Jesus in an unbelieving world. And this is what we're to remember on Pentecost Sunday. Jesus sent the promised Holy Spirit to transform those disciples who were thick-headed and thick-hearted and filled with cowardice, and he changed those people into what the scripture would say would be those who turned the world upside down. The same Holy Spirit is busy at work today. He is creating faith in your heart and in the heart of anybody who hears the proclaimed word of God. He comforts you in your time of loss. He strengthens you in your time of weakness. He removes from you the fear of death. He continues to build the church, thank God, all over the world. You may wonder, in this world, is anything what it seems? Well, you can be sure of this. The love of Jesus, your Savior. The forgiveness of sins won for you at the cross. The victory he gives you at the empty grave. The ongoing work of the Holy Spirit to create and sustain your faith and to build the church. These things are absolutely sure. And the words of Peter's sermon on that first Pentecost Sunday have come true, where he says, "And in the last days, God declares, I will pour out my Spirit, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is God's promise. It's a promise written in the blood of the cross. This promise of God is true. It is indeed just exactly what it seems. You can count on it. In the name of Jesus, amen.